Amen. Okay, apologies, this is going to be a slightly Heath Robinson affair. God sometimes stretches us, doesn't he? And I feel that he's been stretching me over the last few days. That can be good. We sometimes don't like to be stretched. But I've been stretched in a few ways, really. One was Malcolm rang me up on the Thursday evening and said, I can't come to you, sorry, Pam's tested for COVID. Let's pray for it. Lord, we lift up Pam, ask that you keep us safe. And Malcolm, who's also tested for COVID as well, positive. Lord, bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I was left with a classic position of being told on the Thursday evening and having a full diary on Friday and Saturday, completely full, packed, which basically meant, well, what do I do? And the answer is trust in God. He loves those scenarios, sadly. I don't love them, but he does, because they force trust in him. And it was literally like that. So Thursday night, I sort of woke up in the middle of the night, and I just felt God say, okay, here you go. It's 20 minutes worth. I thought, do I get up and go downstairs and write it down? It's one of those sort of situations. And then I thought, I better go down and write it down. So I went downstairs, 3 o'clock in the morning, wrote it down, and we'll take it from there. Okay. Don't applaud Silver, because who knows, it may have just been a poor dream or something. But let's have a look at where we've been for the last couple of Sundays. Okay. Three Sundays ago, I preached on a name. And I preached on a name change. Do you remember? Yeah. So we had Jacob, having his name changed to Israel. Jacob means slippery, means sort of catching the heel of the one before you. And Jacob was just someone who got by in life. Yeah? Do you feel like someone who gets by in life? Yeah? Hands up. I feel like that all the time. Yeah? If you just feel like someone who just gets by. Yeah, who just manages to survive, just manages to cope, just manages to deal with stuff. And God said, basically, I'm going to change your name, and I'm going to change your name to being one who wrestles with God, one who grapples with God, one who changes eternity, one who makes a difference. Yeah. I really want to emphasize that to each one of us this morning, that God wants to change our name, and he wants us to change our name from being one who just survives, one who just gets by, one who perhaps is really shy or really, you know, unable to say boo to a goose or unable to do anything. And he wants us to change our name to being one who wrestles with God or one who makes a difference. In my case, I remember many, many years ago, I was doing training with them with New Frontiers. And on this training course, I acquired the name Dangerous Dave. It was actually to do with cricket. We would play cricket in our breaks and indoors. I worked out with this foam ball that I could take this foam ball and I could spin it, basically, and it would bounce. And so I took 3 wickets in a row with this foam ball. Yeah, and as a result of that, I became Dangerous Dave. But then afterwards, someone came to me and said, I feel that it would be great if you could be dangerous spiritually. Yeah. And I felt reminded of that by God, that God wants me to be dangerous. He wants me to be dangerous out in the community, and he wants me to be dangerous in here. Yeah, he wants me to challenge preconceived ideas and perceptions and conceptions in here and mobilize the troops and get them on the move. And he wants me to challenge stuff out there as well. And he does that by stretching me. Yeah, I was massively stretched over the last couple of days. I was stretched by not being able to prepare a sermon. I was stretched on the day of the fair. There was quite a nasty altercation that took place, actually, and there was quite an incident. And I hate stuff like that. I hate confrontation. I hate having to deal with it. But again, I had felt God say, you've got to step in and you've got to deal with this. And in fact, let's pray. Lord, we pray for the parties. I won't share who they were because it wouldn't be helpful. But Lord, I pray for the parties involved in that. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to see, in a sense, where they went wrong in terms of loss of temper, in terms of saying stuff that they might regret, in terms of all of that. Lord, I pray that you would draw them on to you. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And that also, for me, demonstrates, actually, that the enemy doesn't want us to be at the fair. Yeah, he doesn't want us to be out there, doesn't want us to be sharing the gospel, doesn't want us to be doing this stuff. Yeah, because actually this thing came completely out of the blue, and I said, where on earth does this come from? And it was really quite nasty, and it could have ended in violence, but fortunately, we staved off. So sad, really. But as I said, Satan doesn't want, and he calls us to step up in such a situation. And then immediately after that, I had to face another of my smaller demons, which is reversing the car down the footpath. I hate reversing the car down the footpath. And so there's a sense of just being pushed. God is stretching us at the moment. God is stretching us, and he's wanting to change your name. And he's wanting to change your name from being withdrawn, quiet as a mouse, yeah, to being bold for the kingdom and bold for Jesus. Does that worry you? I hope so. Let's move on. And so we then went and we looked at the, we had our wonderful wedding. Congratulations to the happy couple. You're not sitting together. Right, you need to move back and sit next to your wife. Yeah, do it. Go, do it. Sorry. See what you mean about me being bolshy and bold. I feel I can be. Yeah? Sorry, I hope you don't mind doing that. I'm slightly teasing you on that one. And so we've got what's in a name. And then what we've got is we looked at the characters of Ruth and Boaz, didn't we? And we looked at them last week, and we looked about how Ruth had this quality of hesed love, of faithfulness, yeah, and the importance of just being faithful. We are in a season post-COVID where people are looking for a relationship. They're looking for faithfulness. They're looking for commitment. They're looking for love, yeah, and they're looking to belong. And actually, that is where we, as a church, can be tremendously powerful. Yeah, we can offer them that. We can offer them that sense of belonging. We can offer that hesed love. So I'm going to put that in as two things. One is love. And the other, remember, we talked about atmosphere. Yeah, and creating the right atmosphere. You know, there was a sense in which, as we did that little stall, we were church in the community. Do you mean, I know it was just a gazebo, and I know it was just a game, and I know it was just 4-8 plastic chairs, and I know it was just, but actually we were church in the community. We wanted to create an atmosphere where the Lord was present. And as Tim rightly pointed out, everyone had their different roles, and everyone had their different functions in order to do that. Yeah, and it's important as Christians that we create atmosphere, yeah? Do I remember on the way back from yesterday, I was chatting to my daughter Emily, thinking, what on earth is she going to make of all of this? She's going to be... And she was remarkable in terms of what she said. She said, basically, I'm struck by how different the world is from the church. I'm struck by how the world looks out for itself, looks out for number one, looks out for, how can I get by in life? How can I just survive? How can I do my own thing, whereas the church looks out for others, and the church looks out for those who are weak, and those and I am really grateful that I am part of that. Isn't that moving? I found that really, really. Yeah. That the church is completely different in terms of everybody out there. Understandably, is out for how can I survive? How can I just get by? How can I just make it in life? But we have a completely different agenda, yeah. And we need to create that the atmosphere of that, as it were. And it's really important that each of us, wherever you find yourself in the workplace, Carney did that, didn't he, with his colleague in terms of creating the atmosphere of Christ in his colleague's life. And wherever you're at. Wherever you find yourself in the community, with friends, doing stuff, your role is to create Christian atmosphere. Yeah? And so, we looked at that last week, And this week, I just want to talk about the importance of small things. In a couple of seconds, I'm going to invite Ken up, who had a prophetic word at the prayer meeting just a couple of prayer meetings ago, I think. There's a scripture in Zechariah which says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings." Do not despise. And there's a real danger, a real temptation as a church to think, you know, 3-4 years ago, we were so much bigger, we were so much stronger. Do you mean there were more people? You know, and we look back to those days with our sort of blinkered eyes and we think, oh yeah, you know, that those were the days. Yeah. And it's interesting because the whole setting of that verse is that basically, initially, the temple in Israel was dedicated and there was a huge sort of and lavish and expensive dedication which Solomon presided over, and it was absolutely wonderful. Israel sort of sank, and then they went off into captivity, and then finally they returned to Jerusalem under Ezra and Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel was the priest in charge, as it were. And they have this dedication, and at this dedication, the old people weep, apparently, and the young people are quite excited. And the reason the old people weep was they think, oh, well, it wasn't what it was like in the old days. Yeah? And there's another verse in the Psalms which says, forget not the former days. Sorry, rather, forget the former days and look to the future. I got that wrong. Yeah? Forget what's happened in the past and live in the now and the present. God doesn't change. God does not change. God remains the same. God has plans for this church. Yeah? And those plans start with small acts of faith, small acts of witness, small acts that he will multiply. He will multiply. He will. And some of you may be looking at me with just real doubt in your eyes, thinking, Dave, you don't know me. You know, you don't know how weak my faith is or how fragile I am or what I've been through or where I'm at. And I would say back to you, I don't care, because God is far greater than your weakness. And he can multiply your feeblest efforts. Yeah, and my efforts are feeble, trust me. Yeah, they are. But God somehow blesses them. Ken, come up and just share that picture. Because I do believe it's absolutely right for us as a church. Now, Ken.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. So a few weeks ago now, in the prayer meeting, we were going through the series around Ruth. Ruth was obviously trying to look after her mother-in-law. And in doing so, she had to go gleaning in the fields in order to be able to get what they would eat. And I just felt really strongly that God was speaking to me about that picture. And the word that he brought to me was the gleaning. And he expanded that to say that basically, when Ruth was gleaning, you know, she was looking for little bits of wheat to gather together to be able to make something of it. So obviously it was hard work because, you know, they're not all in one corner. They're, you know, all over the place, and she has to gather them together. But it was also not, you know, a lot. So you're not getting a lot out of it. And I felt that God was just saying to us as a church that, you know, sometimes it feels like you're doing what you're doing to serve God, and you're not seeing a lot come out of it. So there's those little heads of corn, wheat, that you find, you know, but obviously you want, you know, to find more. And so as with the story of Ruth, when Boaz came into the picture, she now got to a position where she was able to be taking back bundles back. And so I felt like God was saying that our Boaz season is coming as well, where we would be able to go in and we'll come back with much more. But main thing that God was kind of impressing on me was that we should be grateful for every single one of those small bits of wheat that we're gathering during that season of gleaning. You know, so we should actually be joyful about it, and we should be faithful in doing that, so that when the next season comes, we're prepared for it. So I just kind of felt that that was what God was sharing.
Bless you. That is a powerful picture, isn't it? That is a powerful picture. As we are faithful in the little things, as we are faithful in just making the small invite, yeah? As we are faithful in just taking a risk, even if the person says no. Do you mean, I feel that often, you know, we are afraid of disappointment, aren't we? And sometimes we think, I'll invite so-and-so to such and such. And we fear the disappointment of them saying no. And I know people who have invited to Alpha, for example, and had their, you know, friends say no. But actually, God is faithful, and he sees your heart, and he sees what you've done in terms of making those invites, yeah? And so we need to continue to do that. We need to continue to be faithful in those little things. And then we need to trust that word that as we are, that gets multiplied, that God multiplies it, yeah? Which leads to my last point, which is just many invitations, yeah? Lots of invitations. I'll be quite personal. I haven't checked these out in advance, these little stories, but someone, I won't mention their name, said to me, I've got a couple of people and I don't know what to invite them to in terms of what we're doing. Do we invite them to Oak Tree Cafe? Do we invite them to Alpha? Do I invite them to Sunday morning service? Do we invite them to whatever? And my response to her was, invite them to everything. Invite everybody to everything. Okay? And that is my challenge to this church. Whoever you come across, yes, would you like to share something? Quite short, because we are a bit short of time. Sorry?
Can I share Riverbourne? The pool.
The pool. Riverbourne. Yes, can we just leave that until another time, if that's okay? Because yeah. Okay, invite everybody to everything. Yeah? Sylvia is your model. Go and speak to her if you want to know how to do that, and she'll tell you. I love exposing Sylvia to the. and yes, exactly. And I really love it when she says I'm a naughty boy. And so I deliberately do it so that she can then call me a naughty boy. Because it's music to my ears. Do that, yeah. Do that. Come and mix it up. You know, we've got people coming again. I'm naming names, Eileen. I hope I don't mind. You know, you had that wonderful testimony about the co-op and being saved outside the co-op. And there you are on a Monday chatting to people at our tea time, you know, and chatting to various people who turn up at Bags of Food Tea, making them feel welcome. Well done. You're doing what happened to you. Yeah? Keep it up. Yeah, does that, I hope you don't mind, this is, you know, as I said, this is a bit spontaneous, so it all gets very personal. Okay, so just multiply those invites, multiply them, and see what happens. And then there's just a final bit about that, which I'm going to talk about. I'm going to start in Luke. Just bear with me as I find my place. Okay, yeah, the parable of the great banquet, which is linked to this. Okay, Jesus said a certain man was preparing a great banquet. We'll be familiar with this story, invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Yeah, God is the host. Okay, God is the one who gives the banquet. He sends out an invite. He says, basically, I'm extending my hospitality to mankind. I want people to be part of my household. I want people to be part of my kingdom. I want people to be part of my family, even. And so he extends this invite, and he says, come to the banquet. And the tragedy, and this is an absolute tragedy, is that many people out there just don't want to know. And they make excuses. The first said, I bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another says, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I'm on my way to see them. Excuse me, another one, I've just got married, so I can't come. And we get that, don't we? We come across people in the community, and so sadly, they are preoccupied with their own business. They're preoccupied with their family, or they're preoccupied with their business, or they're preoccupied with just getting by in life, or they're preoccupied with, and that just completely consumes them and takes them over. And so they don't have time to come to the great banquet. Isn't that tragic? Isn't that tragic? Lord, we just pray for those who that is their response. I don't have time. I've got more important things to do. I've got better fish to fry. I've got other stuff to be getting on with. And yet missing the big deal, which is you. Lord, move by your Holy Spirit. And so the servant comes back and reports this to the master, and the owner of the house is angry and orders his servant, well, go out into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Bring in anybody. Yeah, which is why I'm saying invite everybody to everything. Yeah, and also it might be someone who's not obvious. You may have lovely neighbours, and you may think, oh, those neighbours would make perfect Christians. They're so lovely, yeah? They're so gracious. They're so Christian-like. Yes, I've got a friend who's just like that. He's an atheist, and I think he'd make a lovely Christian, and yet he's not budged a bit, which is a bit sad. Silver and I are both very close to him. I won't mention his name, but we know who he is, yeah? And there might be someone else, and you're thinking, well, that person's not very nice and a bit unpleasant. Yeah, they'd make a lousy Christian. Brothers and sisters, the bottom line is we all make lousy Christians. Because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God and we've all needed his salvation to cover our sin. We're all lousy Christians, yeah, and we'd all make lousy Christians. And so there may be someone who may have escaped your radar and God is saying, well, rely on my Holy Spirit and invite them and see what I can do in their life. Yeah, I just sort of throw that out there for you. Yeah, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, and serve the servants. By the way, these are not my words, these are Jesus' words. So if you're thinking, well, hang on a minute, Dave, I don't really agree with what you're saying, well, think again, because I'm not saying it, Jesus is. Yeah, just tell you that for free. Okay, Jesus is saying these words to you and to me. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. And the master said to the servant, well, go out to the roads, go out to the country lanes, go out to the Shepperton village fairs, go out to houses and neighbours, go out to anything and everything, and compel them to come in. We think that's terrible evangelism, don't we? Whenever I see anybody compelling anybody to do anything, I think that is dreadful, yeah. But the words are strong here. The words are, do you mean these people are missing out on the most important banquet of their lives? Yeah, they are missing out on eternal life. They are missing out on being part of the family of God. They're missing out on an eternity with God. They are missing out. They are missing out on salvation. They are literally missing out on the big deal. Yeah, and so you can understand why the word compel is attached to that. Does that make sense? You can sort of understand it. And so Jesus says, just please, by hook or by crook, get them to the banquet on time. And that is God's clarion call to this church during this season now. This is God's word for today for Jubilee Church. And it's not me saying, it's in Scripture. Yeah, clearly in Scripture. Yeah. That we long to see people come under the banner of Christ in his household. And there's an interesting twist, actually, in terms of the story which is told in Matthew, which tells basically the same story. Is this, the wedding banquet is ready. Those I invited did not deserve to come, so go into the street. And this is Matthew 22 and 8, moving forwards. So the servants went out into the streets, gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. Remember my former point, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And here's an interesting twist to the tale, that the king came in and saw the guests, and he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. So in those days, if the wedding occasion was especially important, then the king would send out the wedding clothes for people to be decked in. Basically, they didn't just pay for the food and the wine and whatever, they also paid for the clothes. And then they'd send them out and they'd say, I expect you to wear those clothes in order to come to my wedding. This was such an important occasion. But in this case, someone decided, rather stupidly, that they could come in their own clothes. They could come in their own righteousness. They could come in their own goodness. They could come in their own religiosity. They could come in their own whatever. And the man is asked, how did you get in here without any wedding clothes? And the man could not respond. And he was chucked out. Just we need to be clear about that we are saved by grace and grace alone. Yeah. People will come in here and perhaps think that being a bit religious or, you know, I come from a Christian past or my family is basically a bit Christian. John is smiling. Of course he is. Yeah. And people will come on that basis and they'll think, yeah, I think that, you know, a bit of religion, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a bit of goodness, you know, the classic, I'm nice enough, I'm a nice enough guy, yeah, we'll get me in. But it won't, sorry. Yeah, only the recognition that we need the king's clothes. We need to be clothed in his righteousness. Our righteousness, our goodness does not suffice. We need his, yeah, and that is the ticket by which not only are we saved, but by which we become authentic members of the church. Important to remember that. And so as we go out and as we make the invite, we also preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. And that good news is, thank you, Lord, I am not good enough to come in on my own merit. I'm not good enough to come in on my own righteousness. I'm not good enough to come in on my own abilities. I come in and become part of the family of God through Jesus's magnificent death on the cross, through his wonderful act of sacrifice, through his amazing just giving himself up for us, in which there's this glorious exchange where my sin is exchanged for his righteousness and vice versa. It says in, I think, Corinthians, he who knew no sin became sin. Yeah, he who was completely blameless, completely righteousness, wasn't just filled with sin. He became the embodiment of sin on the cross. He was literally went from being God incarnate to being sin incarnate as he died. Your sin, my sin, our sin. Yeah, and that is always the ticket by which we enter in to the kingdom. And so there are two things that we're called to: invite everybody to everything, and, you know, sometimes the discussion will perhaps get round to Christian matters and perhaps get round to, you know, a discussion about what it means to be a Christian. And then it's a question of relying on the Holy Spirit to help you to go on that grand adventure of sharing your faith with those around you. Have I scared you? I hope so. Have I challenged you? I hope so. Have I set you up for a big adventure? I hope so. And what do we get out of all of this? And we get a lightning bolt. We get a lightning bolt. God is calling you and me to be a lightning bolt in our society today. Okay, very quickly before we close, what does a lightning bolt do? A lightning bolt connects heaven to earth. Yeah, a lightning bolt connects heaven to earth. A lightning bolt shocks people. Yeah, the gospel is shocking, that your righteousness is not enough and that you need Jesus. It's a real blow to self-confidence. Yeah, it's not within our climate of psychology for today where we believe that everyone can improve themselves. Yeah, the gospel is shocking. It says you can't improve yourself, you need Jesus. Yeah, that is quite shocking. Yeah, so the gospel is shocking. I remember when I was a social worker and I was driving along and there was a guy in a ditch and he was hacking and he hit an electric line and he was literally blown out. I saw him lifted out of the hole and then lying next to the, and I remember I went across to him and his hair had gone all sort of fuzzy and was just matted. And I thought he was dead. I thought that was curtains. But he came around and, called an ambulance and the ambulance came. And then I rang the hospital later and he did survive. Yeah, he survived amazingly, absolutely amazingly. But he was shocked, obviously, by what happened to him. But the gospel is shocking. and people being struck by lightning. They say people have never struck by lightning twice, but apparently it has happened to park rangers and stuff like that. Yeah, sorry, I digress. Yeah, we need to be shocking. We need to bring light. Have you ever seen a dark night lit up by lightning? It's quite spectacular. Yeah, every single person here is a lightning bolt. Yeah, and that was a particular element of what I was woken up to say. Yeah, that we are lightning bolts for God. We are to connect heaven to earth. We are to be shocking. We are to bring light. And also, when the atmosphere is right. A lightning storm only comes when the atmosphere is correct. Yeah, when it's warm, when it's humid, when lightning bolts appear. And post-COVID, I believe that we are in such a season. A season of lightning storms where you and I, dear brothers and sisters, are to be the lightning bolts. Yeah? We are coming into such a season as that. I've got a jazz album. Jazz albums always have really trendy titles. They're always really cool. And this jazz album is very coolly entitled Atmospheric Conditions Prevailing. Isn't that a cool title for a jazz album? Atmospheric Conditions Prevailing. Brothers and sisters, we are in prevailing atmospheric conditions for a lightning storm. And you need to square up to being part of that storm and being lightning bolts. And you all look at me and you think, how on earth could that be true? I just look at the expressions of just total disbelief and incredulity and just, Dave, what on earth are you talking about? What on earth are you banging on about? Look at me, look at little old me, look at where I'm at. Yeah, and God would say, I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray that now. Lord, I pray for every single person here that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would make them strong in you, that you would make them lightning bolts in the family, in the workplace, in the college, in the as you drive around. Lord, that we would become as lightning bolts to this world around us. And I want to pray, firstly, that we would believe it and we would cast aside memories from the past or our weakness or who am I? Who am I, little person? And God would say, no, you are to be a lightning bolt for me. And Lord, that we would then pray and seek for opportunities in which to share the good news of Jesus Christ, share this shocking truth, be light in the darkness. Lord, I pray that you would just help us in that, Lord. And we will each have a particular opportunity, a particular area, a particular friend. Yeah, you may have a friend who's equally shy and equally withdrawn. And you're thinking, I can't invite them. I'm shy and withdrawn, and they're shy and withdrawn. And what on earth do I do? And the Lord would say, well, you as a shy and withdrawn person, invite that other shy and withdrawn person and see what I can do. Like Celine at the fair, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And Lord says, yes, you are going to do it, and it is going to work. Yeah? Lord, help us. Help us to be bold. Help us to be dangerous. Help us to be ambassadors. Help us to make those invites. And yes, many will say, I've got a family to attend to, or I've got oxen to sort out, or I've got a business to restart post-COVID, or I've got this to sort out. But there will be many who respond, because the atmospheric conditions are prevailing. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, do you want to do a little something? We are getting on time, so moderately short, guys, if that's all right.
I know you're saying be short, but actually this morning I got our words and I just want to share.
Yeah, go for it, guys, prepare.